Welcome to Mix Understood, where we talk about identity, the meaning of the word race, and explore the multicultural and multiracial experience through personal stories, candid conversations, and expert insight. I'm your host, Hannah Lee. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's get started.
She was, I don't know, maybe so much mesmerized that her eyes were constantly moving side to side. I was wondering that maybe she has some problem with her eyes.
He's asking me this, and then he's showing to his parents as well that, okay, this is the girl that I want to marry. So in my head, the timeline would be a bit different, but then in his mind, it was the Indian way, like, okay, we have to get married first and then we can do all the rest of the things.
Our egos, they definitely come up from time to time, but then we keep them aside when they are too much dominating, because then we are like, okay, we win in our egos, but even though we are winning, we are actually losing. So in love, when you lose, you're actually winning.
Before we dive into the episode, it's important to say that Mix Understood is a space where stories, ideas, and research are shared with you for your consideration, but it's up to you to shape your opinions in light of your own knowledge and experience. My hope is to explore, learn, and grow together with you. I don't claim to have all the answers. My aim is to start conversations around these topics. Some of you might recall today's guests from season one's finale episode about holiday tales from around the world. They are the sweetest couple you've ever met, Gabriella and Rakesh Zofe. Gabriella is a psychologist from Hungary. Rakesh is an Ayurveda doctor from India, and they currently live in Budapest. Together, they've worked to integrate their different expertise to guide and support intercultural couples through the intricacies of relationship and the journey into parenthood. Today, we will talk about their intercultural relationship, as well as their insights on celebrating differences and building a foundation so strong that no challenge can sway you away from each other. Welcome, Gabriella and Rakesh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for inviting.
So happy to be here.
Yeah, so it's almost 8:15 in Hungary.
Yes.
And you are getting ready to go to India in a few days.
Yes, this Friday we are flying to India.
Wow, for a month.
Yes, for 1 month, because I go to India once a year. So I use maximum of my holidays to go to India and then spend as much time as possible with my family. In the beginning, I used to miss my family a lot before I met Gabriella. But since then, she has filled my life with so much of love that I don't miss them so much. But when I meet them, that's when I realize so much I missed them already.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, we live in a time where traveling is relatively easy. So, and we have the internet and all that. Anyway, well, we always like to get started with a few fun facts.
Yeah, we have some crazy ones for you.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm ready.
Yeah, so the first I'm going to share is that we just realized it a few days ago that according to the Chinese horoscope, Rakesh is a rabbit. And I just remembered that in my teenage, I always wanted to have a rabbit for myself, and Rakesh is a rabbit, so I got him now, and it was such a realization for us.
So you, I guess that means you were born in the year of the rabbit?
Yes. So rabbit is someone who is very caring, at the same time, very careful about doing the things. And it fits to my personality very, very much.
Okay. What animal are you, Gabriella?
I'm a tiger.
Oh, a tiger, yeah. And a rabbit.
Well, I'm a rat, so I don't know if that's what my husband wished. Wow, okay. I'm ready for your fact number two.
Yes, so the second fact is about Gabriela. So many a times when we have surprise guests visiting us or when we don't have much time to arrange things at home, she's very quick in arranging it and cleaning it. But in that process, she hides the things which don't need to be visible to the guests, but then they become invisible for us also later on. So we have to find out where the things are.
Oh my gosh, that kind of reminds me of me. Every time we have guests, I start freaking out and I start cleaning and putting, and he's like, let them see how we live. We don't live in a museum. Let them see who we really are. And I always look at him and I'm like, have you no dignity? What do you mean, let them see how we live? So what's one of the things that you hid and then had to go finding?
Sometimes they are even like, Rakesh has some official papers and then sometimes he has to go to the official places to get them. When the guests come, then okay, I'm like arranging everything. And then in that process, I put it somewhere and sometimes even he cannot find these important papers. So that becomes a bit tricky.
My question is, what is Rakesh doing while you're doing all this? Is he just standing there looking at you? What are you doing, Rakesh?
Usually, she has to do these things very quickly when I'm not at home. Because if I'm at home, we do it together. But still, she's faster than me when it comes to doing things like this. Yeah, I'm doing slowly, neatly, cleaning everything, making sure that it looks nice and the shower handle is shining properly. And then she's like...
The shower handle. Yes. Oh my gosh, this is not a priority, Rakesh. Oh my gosh. Okay, you guys are so funny.
Yeah, that's something like usual at our home or in our life, that Rakesh wants to do things very nicely, neatly, and then he even finds the most unimportant thing at the most urgent time to do. And sometimes that makes me freak out and then get irritated, and I just tell him that, okay, let's get it done quickly and then let's go or let's do it.
Oh my gosh, that's really funny. I'm ready for number three.
So it is usually considered as the routine that we eat our main course first and then we end with the dessert, but we actually start with the dessert and then we eat our main course. Yes.
What?
Many people find it funny, but this is according to Ayurveda, that we should start with the sweet tasting food and then we continue with the main course and we end with something which could be pungent, like hot, or it could be something bitter also.
Interesting. You had me at start with sweet, but I don't know how I feel about end with bitter. What kind of bitter things are you talking about?
So that will make you more excited about this part, that bitter could be a piece of dark chocolate. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll accept. It's bittersweet.
But it is more bitter. So when you eat sweets, after some time you will feel that your mouth feels as if there is something coating inside your mouth. But bitter and hot, pungent, these tastes, they have the ability to clean the mouth and the digestive tract.
Okay, I like that. Are you talking like dessert or you're talking like a piece of fruit when you say start with sweet?
It has to be dessert because we don't combine fruits with the main meal.
Oh, okay. So you mean full-on dessert, like a piece of cake or a cookie?
Yes, exactly.
What? What? You are rattling my world right now.
This is the exact reaction that we get when we go to the restaurant and then we ask them, can you please serve the dessert first? And they're like, sorry? Yes, we are asking for the dessert. and then we will continue with our main course.
Oh, wow.
I think we have to mention, like, it also has to be in moderation. It's not like a full cake you can eat before your whole meal, because then you are unable to eat the rest of your meal. So what we do usually is, like, we eat something sweet. It can be also some kind of dried fruit or something, a piece of sweet chocolate, or even a piece of cake we share two of us together. So it's in moderation, and of course not every day and not before every meal.
So when you guys got married, did you cut the cake first?
That was an exception.
Oh, okay.
We didn't want to freak out our guests.
I'd love to hear how you guys met.
Oh, that's a nice story. I mean, we love sharing this story, how we met. Actually, Rakesh has been working in Hungary, like, I think back then, since 1 year at the time when we met. So he usually gave some, or even now he does give some introductory talks about Ayurveda, so people can learn what it is about and how it works and all that. And I remember my mom just found this Facebook event, and then she said, oh, look, like, it sounds something interesting, so shall we go? And I said, yeah, sure, let's go. And at that time, I already saw Rakesh's photo on the poster. But it was like, okay, some Indian person, nothing much. It didn't interest me much, but I was interested in the topic more. And then we went there, and the venue was full of people, like, there was no place to sit even. And when we reached there with my mom, it was already 5 minutes late. And then what happened was, we were just standing there trying to figure out what to do, like, where shall we sit or stand? And then Rakesh and his translator, they offered their own chairs to us, that, okay, you sit here in the front. So yeah, they gave the chairs, and then we sat literally like 1.5 meters away from them, so it was pretty close. And we sat down, and I remember this feeling in my heart that, oh my god, like, something is happening. I have never felt such a strong sensation in my heart. And I was just looking at him, I was astonished by his presence. Like, he was so calm and so steady and calm, peaceful, and so joyful at the same time. And I was like, I have never met a person like this before. And yeah, the talk continued, and I was trying to hold myself normal. And it continued after that.
Oh my gosh, that is so romantic. I could cry. That is like the movies. Oh. Wow. I see Rakesh is just beaming over here as you're talking. We have to hear, what was it like from your perspective?
Yes. So as soon as she entered, she caught my attention, and I was like, okay, I feel some kind of connection with this person, as if I know her from before. And that kind of feeling was for the first time for me. There was one funny thing which happened at that time. She was, I don't know, maybe so much mesmerized that her eyes were constantly moving side to side. I was wondering that maybe she has some problem with her eyes. That
you guys are killing me today. Okay.
So from there, she came for the consultation. I suggested her to this breathing and meditation workshop. She came for that also. Then we just stayed in touch, and that's how it continued.
So you didn't consult her like, I think you should meet me at this restaurant at 8 p.m. and have dessert with me.
No, actually, after that, I think it took more than 1 year for us to be together. We were kind of
what?
Distant from each other.
Oh my gosh. So you go from love at first sight to a year. What was the moment that you crossed over? Like, I like you, or I love you, or what are we doing? Who was the person that was like, I can't wait anymore?
I think silently, in ourselves, we both were sure at the first time when we saw each other that we want to be together. But after that, Rakesh was traveling a lot in Europe doing Ayurvedic consultations. So we were kind of just meeting at a common place, like when we did these yoga and meditation and breathing technique exercises, like weekly there are some sessions. And I used to go there and we used to meet there occasionally. But because he was traveling so much, he was not so much in Hungary. And also somewhere he was a bit distant or keeping some distance from me somehow. That's what I felt. And I was also not sure how I should approach him, or if I should approach him, or how to do it. So it took, yeah, more than 1 year. And at that time, that's also a nice story, because I went for this meditation and breath workshop as a repeater. And on the day before the course ended, I just somehow messaged him that I am in the center and then I'm repeating the course. And he was like, okay, so I'm coming back next day and I'm going to meet you there, maybe in the center then. I remember that it was like, oh my God, like so good that he's going to be here and I'm going to meet him. And maybe there is a chance for us to meet more times or to talk more. And the next day I came, and of course everybody else was there, so there was no chance for us to kind of be private and talk together. So I remember myself just walking around the store nearby to like spend some time and wait for him so that everybody else can leave and then maybe something is going to happen. And before that, he has never called me. It was only like messaging a little bit here and there. But after like 15 minutes of walking around nearby, I get a call from him, and then he calls me and he says that, can you like come back and maybe we can go for a walk or talk something or do something together? And I was like, oh my God, like my wish is finally coming true. So yeah, that was the crossover, I think.
And when I was making this call, my heart was pumping so loudly that I felt it will come out of my chest, and my hands were shaky. Like, okay, I'm going to make this call. But yeah, it was very nice and intense feeling at that time.
You guys are so romantic. That's beautiful. I love that. So were there any reservations because you were coming from different cultures? Was that part of why it took so long?
Yes. Actually, before coming here and before meeting Gabriela, maybe you know it, in India, they have this tradition that the parents, they look for a girl for their son. And my parents were also in that process. But they were still open that if I find someone who could be suitable for me, they would accept her or whatever. Where I was working, I met a girl and then I was like, okay. And I asked her. Because she was still studying, her parents were not very enthusiastic about talking about marriage. And then we waited for a year, and then I moved here. We were still waiting, but they were not responding properly. So then one day she just called me and said that, you see, I think that this is not going to work. We should move on. By that time, I had already met Gabriela.
Wow.
So then when she said that you can move on, then I had a big smile on my face. Usually people, they feel sad. But I was actually happy. Okay, now I can move on into a beautiful relationship with Gabriela.
So were you nervous about what your parents would think? Because they probably were like, everything's going according to plan. We're going to matchmake our son. And then it starts falling apart. The girl they found is suddenly changing her mind. And they're like, no, 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 no. And then next thing, you're like, check out this Hungarian chick that I just met. was love at first sight. What did they say?
Yeah, it happened something very similar what you said now. I was feeling a bit anxious, but somewhere I felt that they will like her because she has that kind of personality that we just felt that we so much know each other, we are so much like each other. So I showed them the photo and then I asked, what do you think about her as your daughter-in-law? And yeah, they were like, yes, as long as you are happy with her, it's okay for us.
Wow.
Yeah, because you are going to spend your whole life with her. So if you are happy, that's good enough for us.
That's the best response you could have asked for.
Yes.
So when did you show them the picture of Gabriella?
So this was after the previous girl said that you are free from my side. And then I had asked Gabriella directly that, would you be open to spend your whole life with me?
Oh, wow.
And when I got confirmation from her, only then I showed the photo to my parents.
Yeah, so here the first time that the cultural differences have really shown themselves in our relationship was after this walk. Things started becoming serious, and then Rakesh was asking all these very serious questions, like, would you be open to get married and spend the life together? And also, I asked him sometime after this walk, we have spent some time together, we have been on some dates, we have become closer to each other. So are we together? Meaning that, okay, are we a couple or can we consider ourselves a couple? Kind of not sure if we are together. And after that, he asks me that, are you ready to marry me? So it was like...
You went on the thing, and then when he asked you if you are open to it, you were probably a little bit shocked, but of course, you already knew he was the one.
Exactly. It seemed too fast, like after like few weeks or month, he's asking me this, and then he's showing to his parents as well that, okay, this is the girl that I want to marry. So in my head, the timeline would be a bit different, but then in his mind, it was the Indian way, like, okay, we have to get married first and then we can do all the rest of the things. So, yeah.
And for me, the clock was ticking because in India, they look at the age. They're okay, now you are above this age, you should get married. So the clock was ticking for me. Then I had to make some decisions. And then when we talk to our parents about our marriage, that means we are really serious about that relationship. It's not just that, okay, I came across someone on the street, I find her cute, I would like to get married to her. I was very sure that I would like to spend my whole life with her. And that is when I talked to my parents.
I love that. There seems to be a lot of respect there, that you were thoughtful about the process.
Yes.
And what about your parents, Gabriella?
Yeah, so I think I told my parents after Rakesh has told his parents, because that was our deal, that first he will ask them and then I can actually talk to my parents about him. Because for me, it was not asking them whether I can marry him, because I would not even propose the marriage so soon to them. I would just tell them that I love this person and we are together, we are a couple. And I remember it was kind of a big shock for them. And my father was just like, no, 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 no. Like, no. He was just, I remember he was sitting very seriously and kind of like very shocked. And he was just saying, no, 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 like, no, he cannot accept this. So that was a huge thing, yeah.
Oh my gosh, what did you do? What did you say?
Well, I was kind of feeling broken inside, and of course, emotionally, it was a very difficult situation. But I had this faith and I had this belief that, okay, they just don't know him. And it all comes from maybe fears and insecurities that I will be taken away from them, maybe taken to another country, which is far away from them and which they don't know much about. Somewhere this feeling and this thought was keeping me sane in those moments, and also for some weeks and months when it was still difficult to talk to them about him. So this was really something which was helping me to keep myself sane in an emotional level and also on a mental level. I just told that, yeah, I love him and then we want to be together. I was very clear on my stand. And at the same time, I didn't let my father's denial or resistance bog me down. My mother, she was also a bit insecure, even though she has met Rakesh before at that time. So she knew him as a doctor, as an Ayurvedic doctor, which was a good point. But at the same time, all these insecurities and like who he is and then what this culture is and all those things, I think all those were going on in their mind. And that made them react in such a way. But I can say that now my whole family loves him and they are like best friends and it's a mutual love that they show to each other. So it was just only in the beginning for some period of time that it was a bit difficult.
That was one of the slight challenges you had. I'm curious about other challenges you faced as a couple, because there's that, you know, that honeymoon phase, everything's perfect, stars in your eyes, like it's really exciting to be with someone from a different culture. Everything is new, everything is different. And then you start to really getting to know each other and you're noticing, man, why does he do it this way? Why does she do it that way? And there's miscommunications happening, and sometimes it's a personality issue and sometimes it is a cultural issue, and it's sometimes it's hard to know the difference between the two.
Yes, so what you said, exactly that is what happened in our life also, and it happens in every single intercultural couple's life also, that the differences are of two types. One is cultural difference and second is personality difference. Because we come from different backgrounds, like Gabriela is a psychologist, I am from Ayurveda background. So in Ayurveda, we see the things from a more broader perspective. And in Ayurveda also, we have different personalities of people. So based on the personalities, then we can figure out that, okay, this person is behaving like this because that is his personality. For example, I am very quick at doing things, or I change my plans very quickly because that is my personality. It's like the air element is more dominant in me. That is not the case with Gabriela. She has fire element dominant. So she is more perfectionist. She wants the things to be defined properly and then done in a particular way. So personality differences we could understand because of understanding of Ayurveda. We could overcome them just by understanding each other also. I am like this because of this kind of personality. She is like this because of her personality. And then we accepted it that, yes, this is how you are and I'm okay with you like this. Of course, sometimes it is comfortable, sometimes it is not. But still, I love you the way you are. Second is cultural differences. So cultural differences, they started coming up when we went to India for the first time. That was the
bum, bum, bum.
That was the time when we saw the differences, because here everything is open. You can walk holding your hands together as a couple. You can just be yourself without worrying about who is watching you. And in India, I remember, I knew that we cannot walk hands in hand together because I come from a small town. So it's not a big city like Mumbai or Delhi where people are very busy or they have seen this kind of intimate expression of love. But because it is a town, we were just walking and then there was a group of boys standing there. And one boy, he was looking at us, and the remaining three, four, they were looking away from us. So as soon as this boy looks at us, suddenly he's like, look, look there. And then all of them, they were looking at both of us. And then I was like, what is so weird in this? We are just a couple walking here. But it was a new thing for them. And then I realized that, okay, the cultures are different. And then some expectations that now she is my wife, so she has to take some responsibilities or things like that. Now, these are not conveyed verbally, but in subtle way it is conveyed to you. And it that is also not conveyed on purpose. It just happens because there are certain roles given to each relationship. Like, okay, if you are a husband, these are the things you should do. If you are a wife, if you are a son-in-law or daughter-in-law, or so they naturally start expecting these things from you, which are not here. Here, for example, I don't have to worry if I am sitting with my legs up in front of Gabriela's parents. In India, if you put your legs up in front of your elders, then it is considered as disrespect.
Mm.
So these are small little things. It's not that my parents had any problem with that, but we could feel that, okay, there is something different in the air, just because we were not tuned to that culture together yet.
Before going to India for the first time, I remember we had all this question answer session between us, that how the things are there, what all things are different from the culture in Europe or in the Western world. So we had all this conversation. So obviously when you are there, you cannot be prepared for all the small little things. And of course, I had an idea in my mind that, okay, what is polite here to do, or how I should behave, or how I can be myself still respecting their culture at the same time. But small little things like these things, which we were not supposed to be prepared for, or we were actually not prepared for, all of them, they came up. And I remember the first time when we visited, it was kind of a bit overwhelming for me. I didn't feel so happy and joyful as I am normally, because I felt all these subtle expectations, and I felt that, okay, somewhere they welcomed me with a lot of love. But at the same time, these small little expectations were there from me, which I was not even aware of. And there it became even difficult for us to manage it between Rakesh and I, how to talk about these, or actually what is even going on, to understand that. So it was a bit overwhelming the first time.
Yeah, it's like you're in India, you're completely out of your element. Everything around you is new, culture shock. And obviously you want to make a good impression, you want to make a good connection and bond with his family and his community. And did you ever have a moment where you thought, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do this?
Yeah, so that visit, I think a lot of doubt came up in me whether or how we are going to continue this relationship, and how am I going to be like good enough for his family, or how am I going to be accepted the way I am. Somewhere I am such a person that I don't like to feel that I am restricted. And also when I feel kind of restricted in my normal things or in the way I am naturally, then I feel like very bad and rebellious at the same time. And yeah, I had a lot of doubts in that visit. But before that, and from the beginning, since we decided to be together, we had this strong commitment that whatever happens, we are going to take each other and our families along with us. So there is no choice between the family or between each other.
It's beautiful. You say rebellious. Did you rebel in India?
Definitely. Like wherever we had some privacy, I was kind of rebelling to him, telling him all these things, like that he can also like stand up for himself or for us, or say something against the parents or something like that. So somewhere from behind, I was telling him be rebellious, but at the same time, it's not that I wanted to be disrespectful, but it was a subtle expectation from me to participate in all these housework activities. And normally I have no problem to participate in these or even do them myself. But because I felt that it's somewhere an expectation from me, I somewhere felt that, okay, I don't want to participate in this. And even at times when I could, for example, wipe the floor or prepare for the meal, I sometimes would not do it, or I would just sit and then do my own thing.
Oh my goodness. I can feel my chest is like tensing up just imagining that moment. That's very bold of you. I've been in those situations. I'm definitely a people pleaser, and I'm always like, what can I do? How can I help? And I think it's very bold to sometimes say, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to face the consequences of that. But I'm setting boundaries here. And it's not about doing the dishes. It's about me being who I am. So that's really great. And I can see that Rakesh is like, yeah, that's my lady. That's my lady. But I'm just curious, that must have been really uncomfortable for you, Rakesh, even though it was difficult for Gabriella. It's also very hard to be the person that's receiving the guest. Suddenly your life is under a telescope and you're having to consider every aspect of it. And is this something that I have to do anymore, or was I only doing it because I was told? And it's really, really hard. I know for me personally, when I go home or even when I'm around my family, I automatically revert back to the role that I've kind of created with them. And when you bring in a new partner, someone that comes from another part of your life, it's very difficult to integrate those pieces without betraying your family or your friends who are used to seeing you in a certain context, in a certain way. And then suddenly they are seeing you in a different way. And it's like you're in the middle there and you have to find a way to merge this new identity together. You're smiling. So I'm like, can you tell me if that was a little bit of something you were going through and how you navigated that?
I guess you said every single word which I was going through. Mm. Because exactly that is what was happening with me. Because when you're in that context, you are so natural there. And then you start kind of expecting from your partner also that, yeah, but that makes sense. What my family is expecting, it makes sense. Somehow you start, or you don't even start, you just get aligned with the environment you are in. So it was a bit challenging for me, or a lot challenging for me. Because I had to hear from both the sides, and they would talk to me because I was the common point for both of them. And then sometimes I tried to explain, sometimes I just took it in. I was just a listener, because many times they are not wanting to have a solution for any problem. They just want to vent out something. So I was just listening or doing the right things and then conveying the message to each other without hurting each other. Because even though intention is not bad, but sometimes the words can create turbulence. For example, in Indian culture, it is like you are good if you can just mingle with everyone. You are not supposed to have your separate identity. You are a part of the family, you are a part of the society. You should absorb yourself, or you should adjust yourself accordingly, or mold yourself like that. Mm-hmm. But in Western culture, it is like, okay, I have my own identity and I would like to express it. It was really challenging for me. But what helped me is the communication with each other as a couple, and then with my family also. We kept communication open, and we also made sure that we are not letting our emotions take over our expressions. Otherwise, what happens is you are disturbed and then you want to say something, you feel anger, you raise your voice or you shout or you say the things which you don't want to say. Because of this breath and meditation workshop that we teach or that we practice every single day, we manage to keep our feelings, emotions under our own control. So then we decide if I want to say this or not. It's not that it doesn't come to my mind, but if I express it or not, it's completely my choice. Then the communication becomes so easy, so light, and everything starts getting into harmony. So with her family, I have spent a lot much time, but she has not spent that much of time. And when she comes to India, she is completely surrounded by Indians. So it's more difficult for her. I understand that. And one more thing that I love about Gabriella is that she doesn't change herself just to impress someone, but she does it out of her love. Like, just because she loves you, that's why she will do anything for you. And not just for me, but for anyone and everyone.
Oh my goodness. I love that. You brought up two things that I wanted just to kind of bring up again, talking about recognizing the cultures that you come from. You mentioned this in one of your Instagram posts, recognizing the cultures that you come from. Do I come from an individualistic culture or do I come from a collectivist culture? And the ability to see like, okay, yes, I come from a collectivist culture that has a strong emphasis on family and community. And that is like the identity and you are a part of that. And everything you do is constantly taking that into consideration first versus an individualistic culture where it's like, I'm free to do what I want. I don't have to ask permission from my parents. I can just tell them this is what I'm doing. And they can also decide if they like that or not. Everybody's free to do whatever they want. And then the other thing was talking about one of the tools to navigating these kinds of situations. And you were mentioning being able to recognize what's happening to me right now. This is an emotion, this is a feeling, but this isn't necessarily me. And this A, can pass, will pass. B, I don't have to act on it. I can feel it, but I don't have to just let it completely spill out of me in this moment. It doesn't mean it's not real. It's real and my feelings are valid, but can I take a moment and take a deep breath before I decide what I'm going to say or do? I read that people that meditate, they have a little bit more time between an event that happens and the reaction that takes place. They're slower to react. And so I can see how this could be a really beneficial tool in navigating an intercultural relationship when there's just so much happening. And sometimes, like Gabriella, you were saying, sometimes you don't even know what's happening. You just know that you don't feel good right now. And I don't, you know. So tell me a little bit more about that, about the breathing. And
yeah, so I think this was after the love at first sight. Then the second was all these practices, which are very ancient. They come from India, all these breathing techniques and meditation. But of course, now it's all over the world. So Rakesh has been teaching these techniques, and now I am also teaching these techniques. And as he said, we do practice these every day without even a single break for years together. And we have realized these are such great tools that really help us to be resilient, to like be able to endure any situation. And also in these emotionally very disturbing and challenging situations, how to keep ourselves even in the center and not go on both the sides or get carried away. These really help in our relationship. And these are one of our secrets to our happy relationship, because they not only calm us in that time when we are practicing them, but the effect is like tremendous, like completely changes the way you react to certain situations, the way you are able to behave, the way you are able to communicate. So it's really like wonderful thing that it has done also in dealing with all the cultural differences and all the personality differences. It has made it much easier.
So it's more of a preventative tool in a way. But what happens when you're maybe newer to self-regulating and you do have that explosive reaction and you get into a fight and you're both yelling and disagreeing? Like, what would you say to a couple going through that?
Yes, so we have had some fights, but the definition of fight for us is that we don't shout at each other or raise even our voice. We just distance ourselves from each other and keep quiet, because then we know that if we start talking, then it will get escalated. And when we are alone with each other, with ourselves, then it helps us to understand the situation better. And whoever realizes it first goes and says sorry to the other person.
But what if you don't want to say sorry?
Then
what if neither one of you realizes it first?
Yeah, for us, it doesn't take that much time because we have this rule not to sleep without solving any issue. But but yeah, if it happens, like for a couple who maybe shouts at each other in a fight, it's okay. Like, you don't need to make a huge thing about it. It happens. Yeah, like both of you lose your mind, and then the more you speak, the worse it becomes. It's fine. But then let yourself cool down and then see the situation from a broader perspective. And I think the important thing is also that you don't regret later on that you fought and you were so rude to each other and all these things. And you should also not say that, oh, because you were like this. No blaming. We should avoid blaming the other person, because we should see that in such a situation, whatever comes out will be really bad, and it's neither of our fault, or it's both of our fault. Actually, it's not that we can say that it's one of the partners who was responsible for such a thing, because it's always depending on two people. So it's fine. Yeah, you had a fight, and then I'm sure that if it takes 1 day, 2 days, whatever, few hours, you will find yourself in a different mood, in a different mindset when you come out of that situation or when that is over and you took your time. Then you are ready to like come back to each other to say something or to do something about it.
And definitely what helps is taking a few deep breaths from time to time. And also there are some guided meditations available, because when you meditate, you just drop all those unnecessary thoughts. It's like a filter. So when you drop those unnecessary thoughts, then you start seeing things more clearly. So it's like the water, which was very much muddy. When the mud starts settling down, then you start seeing things clearly. And then you understand that the other person also acted because of some reason, not just because to hurt you. So when we realize it that, wow, the other person was also not doing it intentionally, then you automatically feel more compassion, more love towards that person. And you are a couple because you love each other. So we have always given first preference to the love or to the relationship. Our egos, they definitely come up from time to time, but then we keep them aside when they are too much dominating, because then we are like, okay, we win in our egos, but even though we are winning, we are actually losing. So in love, when you lose, you are actually winning.
I love that. Yeah, I definitely, many, many times in my relationships, I want to stand in court and I want to give the judge of the case and show them all the evidence. I have the correct point of view and A, B, C, D, I did everything right and you made a mistake and I win this case. Because it's very easy to forget when you're fighting that this person actually loves me. Mm-hmm. That panic brain can take over and feel like I'm under attack and I have to defend myself right now and in order to survive this moment.
Yeah, so the easiest and simplest way of handling the mind is our breath. We have seen that our breath changes with our emotions. When you're angry, your breath is very forceful and short and rapid. And when we are happy and peaceful, then our breath is very deep and relaxed. So our emotions, they impact our breath, and then our breathing also impacts our emotions. So that is the secret.
So Rakesh, why don't you take us through a short breathing exercise, something like around, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. If you're driving, you know, just be mindful. And alrighty, so let's go into this.
Yeah, so the simplest technique that we can all practice right now, it just lets us sit comfortably and easily wherever we are with our spine erect and body relaxed. If you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes and let's take a deep breath in and let go. Take another deep breath in and let go. And as you relax your breath, you relax your body also. Now let's put our right or left hand on your belly, any hand. Let's observe how with your breath the belly moves in and out. Just a gentle attention on your breath and your belly. With incoming breath, the belly inflates, and with outgoing breath, it deflates. Now let's take one more deep breath in. Inflate your belly as much as you can, and as you breathe out, deflate your belly as much as you can. Pull your navel in and continue breathing normally with attention on your belly. Now place your other hand on your chest. Now this time when we breathe in, inflate your belly and breathe in a little more and inflate your chest and let go. Once again, breathe in, inflate your belly first, continue in the chest, and as you breathe out, relax the chest and deflate your belly and continue on your own rhythm, deep and long breaths in and out. First, the belly gets inflated, then the chest, then the chest gets deflated first, and then you squeeze your belly. And once you get used to this rhythm, once you inflate your belly, chest, gently observe that your shoulders also get up, lifted up. And breathe out. Every time you breathe in, your collarbone also gets slightly lifted up. And breathe out. Now let's fill up our lungs with a breath. Starting from the belly, the chest, the shoulders or the collarbone, and breathing out. Dropping your shoulders, the chest, and the belly, and continue on your own rhythm. Deep, long breaths with a gentle smile on your face. Doesn't matter even if your smile is fake. Now gently relax your hands and keep breathing. Couple of more deep breaths in and out. And relax, keep your eyes closed. Let go of all the efforts and just observe the state of your mind. Breathe in once again, and as you breathe out, slowly and gradually you may open your eyes. How was it?
That was awesome. Thank you so much. I feel like I just came out of the spa. Yes. So that's just something we can do a few times a day.
Yes.
As many times as we want a day.
As many times.
If people want to do more breathing courses, where would you send them?
They can directly contact us. So whenever we are doing any program, then they can know about it. Or otherwise, they can search for the organization in their own cities or countries. It is called as The Art of Living. If they search for that organization, they keep on conducting these breathing techniques. So there is a specific breathing technique called as Sudarshan Kriya, which is what we teach, and that has a very deep impact on our mind. And Gabriela actually has done research on that, how it affects the mind. It's very interesting and beneficial.
So I will put the link in the show notes of this episode if you guys are interested. We've talked about expectations. We've talked about recognizing the cultures you come from. We've talked about being slow to react, not going to sleep angry at each other. Are there any other tools that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, one very great tool, it's a communication tool I would like to share with all of you, is that you communicate to your partner with I statements. Maybe you have heard of this before. It's like, rather than saying that you never take out the dustbin or you never clean the home or something like that, instead of that, you should reframe it and say that I would be happy if you could take out the rubbish today, or I would be really grateful if we could share the home chores and instead of doing alone. So instead of blaming the other person, it will even make the other person feel better, because you're actually expressing yourself, expressing your wish and your need towards your partner, and not blaming them. So I think this is a great tool that we can all implement and practice.
It's true, because it is so easy to point the finger and say, you don't do this, you don't do that. It's shifting your approach and making a conscious decision to collaborate with your partner.
Yeah, so sometimes it can be really challenging when the other person is coming from another culture and you want to understand their perspective, because many times we get so stuck in our own perspective, in our own habits, in our own ways that we see around us, that we have learned from our families. So here one interesting exercise can also be practiced together with your partner, especially if you are having difficulty getting your partner's perspective. It's like you can sit together in a calm state of mind, and you can do this exercise that you share something with your partner, maybe about your own culture, which the other person has difficulty understanding. And you just say that I sleep late at night because in my country, in my family, this is the habit. The other person listens with full attention. And then they can also say the same sentence back. They don't react, they don't say anything like why you do like this or questioning the other person or anything like that. They just say that the same sentence is back to you. Yes, you are sleeping late at night because this is the habit in your family. This is the habit in your culture. And you can see in the end of this exercise what comes out. And of course, then change the roles and then do it with the partner as well. So at that time, you are saying the sentences back. But something wonderful can come out of this, because many times we are so blinded and we are so much narrow-minded in our own perspective that we are not even ready to listen to the other person and yet understand them. So I think it's a great exercise, and maybe you can all try this out.
I'm just curious
to you listeners, what do you think about some of the things we talked about today? Do you relate to this? Are you going to try some of these exercises? Do you have any thoughts, any comments? Do you have any stories that relate to this that you would be interested in sharing? If you do, then please, you can leave me a message at 323-524-8662. The number's also going to be in the notes. Or you can email me at mixunderstoodpod@gmail.com. You can also send me a voice memo or a DM on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. Thank you, Gabriela and Rakesh, for sharing your insights and exercises with us. Just being around you makes me want to be a better person. So sadly, we are coming to the end of our episode. How was this for you guys today? Is there anything else that you want to add before we say goodbye?
Yeah, it was so amazing. Thank you so much, Hanali, for inviting us and for having this conversation. I think we had a lot of fun. And just one thing I would like to emphasize is that either we are caught up in the cultural differences or in the personal differences, the most important thing is you put your partner and your relationship in the first place, and you don't let all these differences break you or break your relationship, because you're much stronger than that. And you can just remember that how you love your partner, how you started this relationship, and how you actually want to be together. So I think that's what we should remember whenever we have some difficulties. The most important is that you are committed to being together, to sharing this beautiful life together. And then even in the difficult times, you are able to just get through them much more easily together.
Thank you. And that is encouraging. And it's good to have those reminders for those periods and phases where things are a little bit more rocky. So thank you so much for everything you shared today. And where can people find you?
So for now, we are available only on the Instagram page, which you mentioned that you went through. So they can follow us there, or they can write us a DM, and then we will be available to them at that place.
So I will put that handle in the show notes as well. It's at Our Intercultural Life. All right. Well, thank you so much, Gabriela and Rakesh, and see you guys in the next episode. Bye. This episode was produced by me, editing by Monet Alvarado and myself, music by Matthias Kunzli.